Good morning and welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. Today we read from the Epistle of St. Paul to the Romans, the 3rd chapter, verses 19 through 28. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith, to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. We Lutherans celebrate the Reformation of the Church every Halloween, October 31st. It was on the eve of All Saints' Day, Halloween of 1517, when a young friar by the name of Martin Luther nailed 95 theses to the door of the castle church in Wittenberg, Germany. He wanted to start a public debate about the practice of selling indulgences, pieces of paper that supposedly got you out of purgatory. But the underlying issue was that addressed by the Apostle Paul in the text I just read to you. Simply put, how does a sinner become a saint? Sinners go to hell, saints go to heaven. How does a sinner become a saint? If he doesn't become a saint, he'll go to hell forever because no sin can enter heaven. If sinners could go to heaven, heaven wouldn't be heaven anymore. All of the suffering of this life and all of the suffering of hell is on account of sin. So it is perfectly clear that we must have our sin taken away if we are to go to heaven. Only saints, holy people, can go to heaven. How can you get rid of your sin? Well, you can't. People try. They deny they have sin, but that won't get rid of it. They choose to ignore sin, don't talk about it, but that won't get rid of it. Some religions don't even think in terms of sin so much as they do in terms of karma. Do this and that will happen. There's no real God, no real judgment, just a rather impersonal cause and effect. Nowadays in America, sin is being defined away. When people do something that is clearly sinful, it is spoken of in clinical terms of dysfunction. I don't suppose that dysfunction is good, but then it isn't exactly sinful, is it? Luther tried to get rid of his sin by going through various religious exercises designed for that purpose, and he learned that he became more sinful, not less sinful, by relying on his own efforts. Sinners insist on trying to justify themselves. The very idea that a sinner can turn himself into a saint is absurd. If you're a sinner by nature and you do what comes naturally, you will sin. That much is clear. But the yearning for self-justification is so strong that sinners will rely on themselves, that is, on their own sin, in search of an elusive righteousness. What does God's word say? St. Paul writes, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." The law of God condemns the whole world as guilty. It silences every excuse. It contradicts every denial. In fact, it imposes precisely the knowledge that the sinner can't tolerate. By the law is the knowledge of sin. God's law teaches us what true love requires. We have not loved as God demands. We have hated, lusted, coveted, and harbored malicious judgments in our hearts. We've worshipped idols of our own creation and have despised God's word, preferring our own opinions. God's law reveals our sin to us. And that's why people insist on amending God's law. They don't want this knowledge of sin. It condemns them in their own conscience. Sinners can't make themselves into saints. They cannot work their way to heaven. They can only work their way to hell. Jesus worked our way to heaven for us. This is what Luther discovered right here in the Epistle to the Romans. The inspired apostle writes, "But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe." What is this righteousness of God apart from the law? It's a righteousness that we don't do. It's apart from the law, apart from our obedience to the law. It is a righteousness that someone else does for us. There can be no righteousness if no one has done anything righteous. God demands genuine righteousness before he will justify anyone. To justify simply means to pronounce just or righteous. It's a declaration of God that says someone is righteous. God can hardly say that someone is righteous if there is no righteousness. The righteousness of God apart from the law is a real righteousness. It was witnessed to by Moses and the prophets. The whole Old Testament pointed forward to this righteousness. It's the righteousness of God. It is done by Jesus, true God and true man, and it is ours, not by our obedience, but through faith in Jesus Christ. Everyone who believes in Jesus Christ has this righteousness. St. Paul continues, "For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith." When Luther preached the doctrine of justification through faith alone, he was met with vigorous opposition. And so it is today. Whenever this truth is confessed, the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh join together in denouncing it. Faith alone? Are you saying that faith will somehow eliminate sin and undo whatever wrong you have done? No, faith doesn't undo the wrong we have done and turn sin into righteousness. As a matter of fact, faith doesn't do. It receives what Jesus has done for us. What faith receives is fully sufficient because Jesus has done everything that needs to be done. As the apostle writes, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So if Jesus had not redeemed us, faith wouldn't have anything to hold on to, but faith holds on to what Jesus has done for us. He has redeemed us. He has shed his blood on the cross as an offering to God to set us free from sin. This offering, the Bible calls a propitiation. Christ's offering pacifies God, takes his anger away, so he's no longer angry at us sinners. And this is what faith receives. It receives what Jesus accomplished when he died for us all. And we need what Jesus did because we're sinners. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All means all. No one is excluded. This means that no one is excluded from those who are justified freely by God's grace. There's nothing lacking in God's grace to justify the whole world. In fact, God, for Christ's sake, has justified you, no matter who you are, no matter what you have done. But you receive this verdict of justification and are personally justified only through faith. The apostle continues, to demonstrate his righteousness because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. People question God's justice. Why do people get away with murder? Why doesn't God punish those who deserve it? Sinners living in a sinful and unjust world cry out for justice. But God is just. He is perfectly righteous. And he demonstrates his justice by justifying those who have faith in Jesus. And this is just because Jesus is our righteousness before God. And his righteousness is without flaw. Jesus obeyed perfectly. He loved with a perfect love. The righteousness he did is the righteousness that we now are have. It is given to us. More than that, he suffered what the law threatened to do to sinners. So his righteous obedience included suffering what we sinners deserve to suffer. So God is perfectly just when he justifies those who believe in Jesus. Our text concludes with these inspired words of the Apostle Paul. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Sinners can't boast before God or anyone else. The righteousness that we have through faith isn't a righteousness that we have accomplished. It's a righteousness that Jesus has accomplished. We didn't do it. Jesus did it. So we don't boast of ourselves. We boast of Christ. It was Jesus' obedience, not ours. It was his suffering, not ours. He redeemed us. We didn't redeem ourselves. He propitiated God. We did not. He justified us. We could not and did not justify ourselves. Luther didn't discover the gospel inside his own heart because his heart was as deceitful as any other sinner's heart. He didn't discover the gospel because he was smarter than anybody else, though he was certainly a brilliant man. Luther discovered the gospel that lay hidden underneath all sorts of false teachings and human traditions because he was determined to find it, and more important, he knew where to look for it. Luther sought out the instruction of God's word, the Bible. He read it. He read it again. He read it again and again and again, and he would not let go of it. And it was in St. Paul's epistle to the Romans that Luther found what had always been there. And when he found it, it not only changed his life, but it was the beginning of the Reformation of the Church. So we thank God every year. We thank God for sending his servant Martin Luther to reform the Church. Luther was like John the Baptist, who came in the spirit of Elijah, confessing the truth regardless of the consequences. The coming of Martin Luther was predicted by St. John in Revelation 14, where he refers to him as the angel or messenger with the everlasting gospel to proclaim. It is an everlasting gospel because it will always be true, and it is everlasting because it gives us eternal life. We rely on this gospel, not on anything we think, say, or do. We trust in this precious truth that we are justified through faith alone in Christ our Redeemer. And being justified, we are heirs of eternal life. As Martin Luther would say, this is most certainly true. Amen. We thank you for being with us today on Christ for Us. If you would like to read a little bit more about the topic of today's sermon, log on to christforus.org, and you can link on to a paper that I wrote recently on whether the Roman Catholic Church and the Lutheran Church now today agree on how a sinner is justified before God. This is what the press was reporting with breathless excitement about a decade ago when representatives of the Vatican and the Lutheran World Federation signed a statement called the Joint Declaration of the Doctrine of Justification. Check out on www.christforus whether this is the truth. We'd also like to invite you to attend one of the services of First Confessional Lutheran Parish, Sunday morning at 8 o'clock at First American Lutheran Church in Mayville, at 10:30 at Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston, and at 12 o'clock noon at First Stavanger Lutheran Church in Fertile. Tune in next Sunday for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.